Hello, it's Christine. I'm with Irene and Derek Bateman in their front room overlooking the railway. Well, that's special. We'll talk about that in a minute. And the canal, and it's coming up towards Summit. Well, first of all, Irene, how will people know you? Hello.
Hello. They will know me, a lot of people will know me as was head of Walston Infant School. And I also taught at Shade and at Rumfield in the long distance past. So quite a lot of people know me. And I'm a member of Walston Church.
And Derek, will people know you?
Well, not the same. I wasn't born round here like Irene was.
So you're an off Cumden.
Yeah, I'm an off Cumden, yeah, whatever. And I used to work Manchester Way as well, so I knew a lot of people from work over there. But no, I'm a member of the Angling Society the last 50-odd years, so I know quite a few people, fishermen, etc., etc.
Well, many of our listeners have probably done some fishing. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, you might. Yeah.
Now, I'm sitting here, and I mentioned the location where I'm sitting, particularly because I was on my way to Manchester on the train and realised that it's quite a long time since the fire, when Summit Tunnel went on fire. And I thought, how on earth did people who live near to the tunnel cope? And of course you live near to the tunnel and you coped. How did your day start? I know it was very close to Christmas, I think, because we were going on holiday. So how did your day start?
Well, it was, I think it was something like the 23rd of December, or
it
maybe
was
a couple of days.
Then.
Couple
school
of days.
Was still open.
Oh, okay, fair enough. But it was very, you know, very close to it. And first we heard was the noise early in the morning, about 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, something like that, that was unusual. And when we looked out of the bedroom window, there was a fire engine parked immediately outside with all its lights going. And on the other side, there were another 5 or 6 firemen. Fire engines, and everybody was, obviously there was something happening somewhere, and we thought perhaps maybe it was an exercise or something, and then I think I went and asked one of the guys, and he said, I think there's a train stuck in the tunnel or something, and that was it. So then so we just took it as a normal day, got up, asked them to move the fire engine, and off I went to work.
Hang on, ask them to move the fire engine.
Well, yeah, it was in front of the garage, so I couldn't get the car out. I wish I'd have left it in there now.
So you went off through Summit?
Yes, in a way.
Yeah, on the road.
Yeah,
yes,
on the road. Yeah, on the road.
No
yeah.
activity there?
No, couldn't see anything. I can't even recollect seeing any flames or smoke at that point either. And that would be probably about 20 to 8 or something like that,
something
going
like
off to work.
That.
Yeah.
And Irene, what happened with you?
I just carried on and got ready and went down to school, and I was in school all day, and just heard about what was going on in the village, about people going down to the junior school. They didn't use my school.
Some people going to the junior school, why?
They were being evacuated from their homes.
Evacuated?
And, They went down to the junior school. As far as I can remember, I just worked normally all day with the children. Came home and got to the top of the lane, and the police wouldn't let me come down. They said, you can't go home. So I went to stay with my parents, and Derek, you came through when you came back from work, and we stayed overnight at my parents'.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me in either. No,
and it
stay.
Was, we actually slept up in the attic at my parents', and the rain poured down.
Absolutely,
that night.
Hammered it all night. I went off to work as usual and came back that evening. I think the fire was still burning, I'm not too sure. Because it did burn for a long time.
It did
time.
Burn for a long time, yes it did.
Yeah, absolutely roared out of the top of the vents up by Summit there. Tremendous. Flames were way up into the sky.
We saw that on television.
We
didn't actually see it, did we?
No, sadly, no.
And your daughter was in...
And our daughter was in Guernsey, and she saw it on the television. So, of course, she was alarmed and rang home to see if we were all right. Yeah.
I think it hit international television, didn't
yes,
it?
Yes, you know, yeah.
And I think it's also been the lessons learned have been used internationally, because there have been one or two road tunnel disasters since.
And of course this tunnel here, it's 1.5 miles long, so it is a very long tunnel indeed, you know, and for that to be on fire with all those carriages in there, all those trucks and that in there, it's a big thing. It could have been, the whole thing could have been a lot worse than it was.
We better explain, hadn't we, that the fire was caused because a train had set on fire, hadn't it?
It was carrying fuel. The brake was on, it overheated and heated up through the wagon into the fuel.
Yeah.
And then it, I suppose it must have exploded. And then successively, they all started to catch fire.
Mm. Going down.
And the engine driver, as I understand it, he had to stop in the tunnel. He didn't get out of the tunnel at that point. He then ran out of the tunnel, raised the alarm, and then went back into the tunnel, disconnected his engine, and drove the engine out towards Littleborough and got that out of the tunnel. And the rest of it, all the other trucks, were all left in there burning merrily away.
Mm. What a brave chap.
Absolutely, yes.
Very brave.
And unrecognised.
I don't know. I think there might have been something afterwards for him. I can't just recall him, but I think he was certainly mentioned somewhere.
So
how many days were you out of your house?
Only the one.
But our son, who was in the fire service, had to ask the police chief if he could come home to feed his mother's cat, which amused us
because we couldn't do it.
So they allowed him in. Yes, but they were very strict with the police to ensure that everybody's property was safe that night.
From looters.
From looters.
And I believe you were co-opted as chief cook.
Oh, definitely. I was, the first morning was when there was a knock on the door. Derek must have gone to work. And I'm still in my dressing gown, and in walked the fireman with our son, saying, "Could you feed the boys, Mum?" So they ate my mince pies, cups of tea, all things I got ready for Christmas. That carried on, actually, for quite a few days with policemen and firemen coming in.
It was handy.
Andy, yes.
Well, yeah. you're right at the mouth of the tunnel.
And it's not who you know, is it? It's not what you know, it's who you know.
And then, of course, you had all the worry about the reconstruction things, didn't you? You were saying they put pontoons over the river.
Oh, yes, yeah, to get all the equipment in, they put pontoons across the river.
This is equipment to repair the tunnel.
Yes, well, what they did then, they put porter cabins onto those pontoons because the... Whilst there's a lot of area out there, for what they had, was still limited. So they did that to increase the ground area, as it were. And there must have been a good 12, maybe 15 porter cabins out there. There were big toilet facilities across and the shower room. And then the massive crane that came, the big Bailey crane that came in as well, because there was a lot of equipment being moved about. It was a busy, busy site, yeah. And I think we reckon there were about 100 people on the go all the time, repairing.
It was very, very busy, wasn't it?
And presumably a similar sort of number from the other end, from the Littleborough end as well.
I would assume so, although I've not much recollection of it, because sadly they didn't have the same access over there either, because they're right up against the road. It's very steep into that part as well. They must have used, only if they used Fothergill's... they might have used Fothergill's car park for a lot of the equipment. Could have done, couldn't they? Yes.
And on television, of course, it was really spectacular, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Big news item.
Yes,
yeah.
And we missed it all.
Not really, but...
because the flames were on.
We missed the flames. Yeah.
They were coming out of
the...
The vent.
The vent. Yeah.
Very much so, yeah.
Yes, going through.
Yeah, tremendous.
Yes.
And I can't... I don't know how long it took them to repair it, either.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Into the middle of the year, possibly?
It was quite a long time, wasn't it?
It would have been busy, busy, busy around
here. It was very, very busy. And to give us some privacy, they built a high fence.
Yeah, 12 foot high screen
just outside the house as a screen, so that we couldn't see all these workmen. And and they were very polite, all the workmen. There were no grumbles at all about them.
Excellent. And then the final thing was you had a trip.
Inconvenience. I was invited, along with VIPs, the mayor and other people, and we took them on the first train through the tunnel when it was opened, yes. And it was a very nice day as well, if I can remember. The weather was fine and it was sunny, yes.
So this is the first train?
First train to go through. And we could have gone on holiday as recognition.
Yeah, free train
holiday.
Yeah.
As recognition of our...
Well, I think because of putting up with the inconvenience, I suppose.
The inconvenience, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but we never managed to fit it in.
No, we didn't.
Right, well, thank you very much indeed, both of you. Okay. Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Irene. That was smashing.
Good.
It's many memories there.
Memories, yes. Yes, it is, actually.
Yes. Thank you. Right, bye-bye from Christine. Bye-bye.